Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have given us the faith to believe your word. We ask that you would be present tonight, that you would help us to understand more and more what things you have in store for us, the things that you would have for us to do. We ask that our faith would not decrease, but that it would increase. And we ask for strengthening and for a firm conviction in your truth, your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It is good to see John back.
Oh, it's good to be back. Thank you for acknowledging me.
I know you need to change.
So, we're actually starting tonight a little differently. Instead of me going through a detailed review, I put together a little quiz.
Oh, crap.
Well, it's pretty simple. There are 11 questions and 11 pretty simple answers. If you've been paying any attention, it should be simple. So, first question is, who offered a better sacrifice to God? We're in Hebrews 11, talking about faith.
Abram.
Jesus.
Think Old Testament. Think early Old Testament. There were two brothers. One offered a better sacrifice than the other.
Was it Melchizedek?
No, it was Enoch and the two brothers, Abel.
Yes. We're reviewing chapter 11. So at the beginning, yes, Abel offered a better sacrifice than his brother Cain.
Why was it better?
It was by faith.
That's why
it was better.
That's right. It was by faith. And the other was by works.
Okay, yeah. Next, who pleased God and was taken up?
Enoch.
Yeah.
Yes.
He walked with God, and he was taken up so that he did not see death.
He was beamed up.
Next one, who was warned by God and saved his family?
Noah.
Yep.
Very good.
I tried to make it a little tricky. I didn't put the word out there either. But you got it right away. Who left his country? He left and didn't know where he was going, Abraham. Yep. He left after the command of God. He left his father's house and his country to the land that God showed him. Who bore a child in her old age?
Sarah.
Yes. Sarah. We're just kind of following this in order, so it should kind of be easier now you got the idea. Who offered up his promised son?
Abraham.
Yep. Abraham. So he did offer his son as a sacrifice, but he did not actually finish that. Who gave blessings concerning future events? There's actually three of these that are close together, and it all happened in their old age.
Jacob.
Bless their children. Yes, Jacob is one.
Isaac.
There was one other.
Abraham.
Joseph gave commandments concerning his bones, that he would be buried outside of Egypt when the Israelites would leave. Who hid their son for 3 months by faith?
Moses.
His parents. Their names are Amram and Jochebed, but they're not actually listed by name in Hebrews 11. Yes, they're Moses' parents. They did not fear the commandment of the king. Who refused worldly authority and riches?
Moses.
He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused all that went along with that title. He considered it the reproach of Christ to be greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Who left Egypt behind and kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood?
The Israelites.
Well, yes, it was the Israelites, but it's actually an individual here in Hebrews 11. It is Moses. We're in verse 27. It says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. But that's right, all of the Israelites did that. And then finally, who passed through the Red Sea on dry land?
Israelites.
Yes. Yeah. They're not even mentioned by name. It just says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. Whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. So that's it. That's as far as we've got through the chapter. That wasn't too hard a quiz. You did good. So all of these people had received some word from God. They believed it. They acted in obedience to what he told them. And they received some kind of benefit from their action. God rewarded their obedience. We're told that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So faith is completely trusting in God's word, being confident, fully persuaded that he will perform exactly what he said he will do. It's reliance on God's faithfulness. If he said it, he'll do it. God is able, he's willing to do what he promises to do, no matter what the circumstances appear to be. So through many of these circumstances, it seemed like there was no hope. And yet God kept his word. So by faith we believe and we obey God because we know that God cannot lie. He cannot make any mistake. He cannot be defeated. Psalm 33 says, the Lord nullifies the counsel of the nations. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart from generation to generation. So there's no stopping God. He will do what he will do. And if we're doing what he will not have us do, it will not succeed. So the mark then of genuine faith is perseverance. If our faith is genuine, it will not be easily shaken. Our faith will be tested. So how will we respond? Will we continue to believe? Will we continue to obey God in the midst of ridicule or trial or disaster? Will we continue to love God when we suffer loss in this world? Yes?
I believe if you have the Holy Spirit, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, I believe that our faith will endure.
Okay, yeah. It will, and but that's not really to minimize, I guess, our part in it. We do have a responsibility to hold on to our faith.
Right.
So the first century Jewish Christians, they had lost much for Christ. They were made a spectacle. They suffered verbal and physical assaults. They were imprisoned. Their property was seized. They needed to endure so that in the end they would receive the promise. We also need to endure. We need to continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. So that brings us tonight to verse 30. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. I'll go and read verse 31 also. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. These two events are close together, so we'll look at them both tonight. So by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. Four 40 years had passed since the Israelites had passed through the Red Sea by faith, which we looked at last week. They left Egypt by faith, and when they came to the land of Canaan, they refused to enter it because of unbelief. So we're getting the setting of the story of Jericho. So what's taking place in the meantime between the Red Sea crossing and this. So in Deuteronomy chapter 1, Moses is recounting the history to the Israelites. So Deuteronomy 1 at verse 20, he said, I said to you, you have come to the mountains of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is giving us. Look, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of your fathers has spoken to you. Do not fear or be discouraged. And every one of you came near to me and said, let us send men before us, and let them search out the land for us, and bring back word to us of the way by which we should go up, and of the cities into which we shall come. The plan pleased me well, so I took 12 of your men, one man from each tribe. They departed and went up into the mountains and came to the valley of Eshcol and spied it out. They also took some of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down to us. And they brought back word to us, saying, it is a good land which the Lord our God is giving us. Nevertheless, you would not go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. And you complained in your tents and said, because the Lord hates us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Where can we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven. Moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakim there. Then I said to you, do not be terrified or afraid of them. The Lord your God, who goes before you, he will fight for you, according to all he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness, where you saw how the Lord your God carried you, as a man carries his son, in all the way that you went until you came to this place. Yet for all that, you did not believe the Lord your God.
Well, now, what you just read there, they believed when Moses said, have faith, be still, and the sea was parted, and they believed, and they went through the sea, but yet they wouldn't believe a little bit later about this. I mean, these were just men, you know? Think about it. This was a sea that they watched open up. I mean,
they were headed to the other side of the sea, they didn't believe it.
I mean, man.
They started building false idols and stuff.
That's unreal.
Right.
You know what
it is real, but
it's just wow.
Yeah. So the people were bigger than they. They had large fortified cities, but rather than believing that God would do what he promised, the people acted in fear from the report of the spies. The fortified cities and giant people were no obstacle for God, but the Israelites looked at these things, and for some reason they either thought that God would not help them or could not help them. We looked at this event several months ago, also in Hebrews chapter 3. So Hebrews 3, verse 16. Chapter 3, 16. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. So that generation died off in the wilderness, and then their children led by Joshua came into the land that God had promised Abraham and his descendants. And that's where this story picks up in Joshua.
It's the same thing with us. We can't we cannot be saved unless we believe.
Right.
We have to believe in the gospel. If we don't believe, it's just you're just speaking words.
Right. No one's going to be, I guess I can say it this way, no one's going to be surprised that they're in heaven because they have faith.
Right.
But the important thing.
Because you're going to know you've been saved and sealed with the Holy
Spirit. The surprise comes now that God would love us, but we believe it. So
you have to remain that way. And it's obvious these people want to remain that way because they kept losing their faith.
Exactly.
That's why they draw up generations and a new generation would come along. And
but you'd figure, though, think about it, you'd figure after seeing all the things they were seeing, you'd figure their faith would build a little bit stronger, but man, you know, I don't
think. I think when they talked about that the people were blinded from the truth and stuff, they were talking about the truth.
Very possible.
And they couldn't see God and Jesus right in front of them, because they didn't want them. They wanted it.
You know what, David, you just said that reminded me you're called, but few are chosen. That's what that reminds me of. You know what I mean? Those that are going to believe it. Anyway.
So, now we come to Jericho. They had crossed over the Jordan River, and Jericho is the first city that they encounter. So they're just coming in to take over the land that God promised to give to them. So I'm going to start in Joshua chapter 5, at verse 13. It came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" So he said, "No, but as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass, when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, then the wall of the city will fall down flat."
Wow.
"And the people shall go up, every man, straight before him. Then Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, 'Take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord.' And he said to the people, 'Proceed and march around the city, and let him who is armed advance before the ark of the Lord.' So it was, when Joshua had spoken to the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark, while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, 'You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout. Then you shall shout.' So he had the ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once. Then they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. Then 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, but the rear guard came after the ark of the Lord, while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. And the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. So they did 6 days. But it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. On that day only they marched around the city 7 times. The seventh time it happened when the priests blew the trumpets that Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things, and make the camp of Israel accursed, and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord." So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. They utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and donkey, with the edge of the sword.
Wow! Can you imagine all the people inside that city? What battering ram were they using?
Right.
Yeah.
It must have seemed strange to them.
No doubt. That's the power of God, brother. Amen.
So by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. Who exercised faith here? It wasn't the walls, certainly. So first, Joshua believed the Lord's word that God gave Jericho into his hand. And secondly, when Joshua reported the word of the Lord to the Israelites, they believed. And so believing the promise of success, they obeyed the commands that were given to them. They did not lean on their own understanding. They did not engage in what would be considered a normal military campaign against the city. The Israelite army, with the priests and the ark, marched around the city once every day for 6 days. The people gave no intimidating shout against the city. The only sound made came from the seven priests blowing their trumpets. The seventh day at Joshua's signal, all the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat.
But the ark was involved.
It was carried around by the priests, yes.
The power of God.
Rahab was part of Christ's genealogy.
Yes, we'll get to her in the next
verse. I'm sorry.
That's okay. We'll get there.
Excuse me?
We'll get there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm sorry.
It's okay. So they did these things because they believed the word of God. They did it by faith. If they had not believed that God would deliver the city to them, they would not have performed these strange actions for 7 days. Their faith in God endured for the entire week as they carefully obeyed his instructions. And in the end, it was rewarded. So, how does this apply to Christians today? Are we called to go marching around buildings that we perceive to be fortresses for the enemies of Christ? No, not exactly. Our enemy is not flesh and blood. It is we wrestle against principalities and powers, spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So as the cities of the Canaanites were great and fortified up to heaven, now the spiritual strongholds that we are to overcome are built up in the mind. The only way to overcome these fortifications is the Word of God. So I wanted to read a couple New Testament scriptures that would kind of tie into this.
You said the only way to overcome this mind battle is the Word of God. Mm-hmm. In other words,
well,
recognizing the lie that's coming at you and seeing the truth of what God's word says and basically spanking that lie that comes at you, right, with the word of God. Is that what you're talking about?
If you want to put it that way. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, Paul says, "Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent and bold toward you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some, who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." And then earlier in 1 Corinthians...
That sounded like wisdom, looking to what God's word says and seeing the truth. And just like cutting through all the hogwash that's being spit at them. Wow.
And then 1 Corinthians 1, starting at verse 18. Again, Paul, he said, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe.
All right.
For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified.
Amen.
To the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men."
Wow. You know what that sounded like? A lot like James chapter 3:13, verse 13 through 18.
Okay, is that dealing with the wisdom of the world?
Yeah, how it's devilish and stuff like that.
Very sensual, demonic.
Yes, real wisdom comes from above, and it's peaceable and gentle and without hypocrisy and all that.
That's why Jesus spoke in parables.
Okay.
Because only the ones that could understand the parable are the ones that were chosen to hear them. Or else the others had no idea what was being said. So that's what I think that's has a lesson.
Okay. Again, I'm trying to relate this to our battles today. We don't march around physical walls, but we do have obstacles that need to fall down, strongholds that need to be pulled down, and the way that happens is faith in the Word of God. So by faith, we understand that Christ is with us always, even to the end of the age. And so by faith, we obey His command to go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that He has commanded us. So we may or may not see a lot of fruit of our labors during our life, but we are to endure steadfast, knowing that our work in the Lord is not in vain. When we speak God's word, we are confident that it will not return to Him void, but it will accomplish what He pleases and it will prosper in the thing for which He sent it. So these may seem to be strange methods of conquering obstacles. It's certainly not what the world would do, but we are to obey God. We are to believe what He said and obey what He commands. Okay, now we get to Rahab.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm telling you a bit from the chapter to the next chapter, yes. 6:21, so I got pretty much.
Okay, that's all right. These two events kind of tie in together, so it happened around the same time. So before the Israelite army came against Jericho, Joshua had sent two men to spy out the land. We see that in Joshua chapter 2. And this is where we get the story of Rahab. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men from Achaia Grove to spy secretly, saying, "Go, view the land, especially Jericho." So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab, and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country." So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country." Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from." And it happened, as the gate was being shut when it was dark, that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. Then the men pursued them by the road to the Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now, before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when he came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted, neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now therefore I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token, and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." So the men answered her, "Our lives for yours, if none of you tell this business of ours. And it shall be, when the Lord has given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with you." Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall. So she dwelt on the wall. And she said to them, "Get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Afterward you may go your way." So the men said to her, "We will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you have made us swear, unless, when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household to your own home. So it shall be that whoever goes outside the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we will be guiltless. And whoever is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. And if you tell this business of ours, then we will be free from your oath which you made us swear." Then she said, "According to your word, so be it." And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet cord in the window. They departed and went to the mountain and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers returned. The pursuers sought them all along the way, but did not find them. So the two men returned, descended from the mountain, and crossed over, and they came to Joshua the son of Nun, and told all that had befallen them. And they said to Joshua, "Truly the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands, for indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us."
Wow. That didn't seem like it was some kind of like coincidence for no. all that to take Certainly. Place, man. Wow.
So then we read the account of the walls coming down of the city, and then at the end of that in chapter 6, verse 22. But Joshua had said to the two men who had spied out the country, "Go into the harlot's house, and from there bring out the woman and all that she has, as you swore to her." And the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. So they brought out all her relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel. But they burned the city and all that was in it with fire. Only the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua spared Rahab the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. So she dwells in Israel to this day because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho.
Wow, that was all part of God's plan.
It was.
Because that Rahab, whatever, was part of his genealogy to Boaz through Solomon. So that's why she was hid and saved. Satan got rid of all those other women. And he knew that it was coming through the lineage of David. So that's why that all happened. That was funny. That's why I know that.
Was she married to the Boaz?
Married him. Read Matthew, the genealogy.
Well, she definitely had a way with words dealing with these guys.
You know, she was blessed, part of God's plan.
She was bartering big time.
Am I right?
A good barter.
Am I getting off track, or is that
No. You're right. She is part of one of Jesus' ancestors.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
That's amazing, man.
Yep.
So, we can go there next. She began as a prostitute, a harlot, but later she married an Israelite named Salmon.
Salmon, that's right.
They had a son named Boaz. Boaz married Ruth. We see that in the book of Ruth in the Old Testament.
And Matthew.
They had a son named Obed. Obed's son was Jesse, and Jesse was the father of David. This is also found in Matthew 1, verse 5. So,
thank you for that.
Okay. So David became the king of Israel, and then,
as we know,
several generations later, Jesus was born.
Well, there's only five women mentioned in this genealogy. All guys begotten of, this guy, that guy. There's only five women. And Satan knew that, that if he could stop the lineage of David, if he knew that, they told him. And that's one instance that how was prepared, God prepared that to have to be that way, so she wouldn't be disposed of or murdered.
Okay, and I'm not sure the details that Satan knew about future events at that point in time, but certainly he knew that the Christ was coming.
I don't think the devil knows the future. I mean, God does, right?
He would, I guess, know as much as God reveals.
Exactly.
So I would kind of hesitate to say that he knows more than that.
And I would think if God had a plan for a certain thing to happen, like what happened with Abe, right? That woman. Why would he let that foul puke know what his deal is?
Because he stood there.
Makes sense.
Because he was present.
You know?
He was present. Satan was present, saying that. And Job.
Okay. This is before, this is a few generations before David and before the promise given to David, so At this point, I'm not sure that the devil would have known about David at all, but it was certainly not.
The crisis going to come through that.
Yes. God did promise that to David.
Yeah. Absolutely.
He would have a son who would be on the throne forever. Yes.
Sorry, I had to
go. Okay. All right. Well,
that was interesting.
So, the devil is a fallen angel, so I know what he learned up there before he came down.
Well, whose planet is this? It's his.
Well, I don't think he learned anything. I mean, he tried to take over the one that created him. That was pretty ignorant.
He's still here, man. He's still here.
And the ones that followed him, that was pretty stupid.
So she started out as a harlot, but she ended up being used by God to be mother of David eventually, and Christ eventually after that. So God's grace can reach the chief of sinners. It can convert him or her into a useful vessel of mercy. There's no person who is beyond God's help. She received the spies in peace, with peace. She concealed them at the risk of her own life. She worked against her own countrymen, against her own city, her own king, and helped the Israelite invaders. The only reasonable explanation why she would do this is because she had faith. She knew that the Lord had given their land over to the Israelites. She knew that the Lord is God in heaven above and earth beneath. So she was converted. She had faith. She believed God. She had heard the reports that the God of Israel dried up the Red Sea for them and gave them victory over the kings of the Amorites. She understood that their God was the true God, the living God. She heard and believed, and therefore she acted in faith. Yes.
There you go again. Take a look at that. The ones that actually seen the sea depart, they later had no faith.
Right.
But yet she only heard what happened, and she had faith. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. She was hearing what was being happened, and she believed. Blessed is he who believes, have not seen. Yeah. That's amazing, man.
It is.
Because they seen it happen. I can't comprehend that.
They heard God when I was at the mountain after they crossed the Red Sea. And they didn't hear listen.
So, you're right, God did not speak to Rahab directly, but she heard, and she believed the revelations that God had given of his love for Israel. She had heard the reports, she believed that that this was the real God.
This part is for us. This is tell us, believe by faith.
I guess it goes to show you that anybody's faith can be shaken, man. That's why the Word tells us that men ought to always pray and to not faint, you know.
And she was strong in faith in one way, but at the same time she was kind of weak in faith in another way. When the king sent to get the men from her house, she lied about that.
Right.
That would kind of go against faith. She was fearing the wrath of the king, so to speak.
She'd rather face the wrath of the king than the wrath of God. She didn't want the consequence.
Yeah. But faith did enable her to do what she would not have done without faith. Faith enabled her to obtain what she could not have obtained without faith, and that was that she did not perish with those who did not believe. Because of her faith, she treated the Israelite spies with kindness, and because she saved their lives, they delivered hers. Those who did not believe perished. Only those who believed did not perish. So we're told that Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, all her relatives who were in the house with her were spared. But the rest of the city perished, both men and women, young and old, ox and sheep and donkey. So
wow.
They even slaughtered their animals.
So when we come to receive Christ,
yeah,
as Lord of our lives and Savior, the promise is saying there that He also will save our family.
Yeah. He's talking about salvation right there, buddy.
Those who entered the house with her,
yeah,
were saved.
Not on my terms or our terms, but His terms.
But those, if there were any that went outside into the streets, they were killed.
They were killed, absolutely. Just like when they were leaving.
I can't Solomon. Say that, that.
That's how I'm getting at.
In a sense, yes, because those who are saved will want to share that with their family.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
But in another sense, no, it's an individual thing. We're not saved. We're not born of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
Through
it's God who gives new life, new birth.
To His Spirit.
Yes.
To His Spirit.
So it's not a... I can't say because my dad's a Christian, I am automatically.
But if your dad was a Christian, God will, He's through prayer, and, I see it happen. I see it happen. Happening around the church and thing. I see that people come to the Lord, not running down the aisle, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about really changing. Drug addicts, alcoholics, prostitutes, whores, queers, gay people. They've changed. They've become a new person. In spirit, and the way they talk, the way they speak, the actions. But it starts in the beginning. It says it gives us the ears, the locust state. So, that's what I'm referring that to. His household, whoever's in his household. Okay. I mean, if they move out, look at Joseph, right? They threw him out, right? But what happened? So that's on. Could be wrong.
Not quite sure the point of that. Okay. All right. Yes.
I'm seeing the same thing the way we're saved. Those that believe are saved, and those that didn't believe, well, they perish. Same way, if someone doesn't say yes to Jesus, well, they perish. If they do, then hello. Yeah.
Okay. We don't receive spies with peace, but we receive the Son of God. but we don't lie about it or hide it.
No, I don't mean in the verse. I mean what you just got said. What you just said about how those that didn't believe, they didn't perish in there. But those that didn't believe, they all perished. It's the same way as salvation is. If you believe in Jesus Christ and what He done for you, you're saved.
But back then, God.
No, back then, that's the resurrection. He's talking about that.
This is God back then. Jesus Christ hasn't come out.
I know, I'm trying to convince. He knows what I'm talking about.
Right? Faith for God.
Hebrews is written before the resurrection.
Which after? It was after
Harris.
So, talking about before.
That's what they believe in. Have faith and believe in that. The risen Christ.
Mm-hmm.
The gospel.
Right. So, like Rahab, these Hebrew Christians at that time were called to separate themselves from their unbelieving countrymen to follow a course that would put their property and their very lives in jeopardy. Only faith could enable them to obey. If they really believed that Jesus was the Messiah, if they really believed His word, that he who loves mother or father or son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he who finds his life will lose it, but he who loses his life for my sake will find it. If they really believed these things, they would do and suffer whatever was required of them. By faith they would continue to joyfully accept the plundering of their goods. They would continue to submit to ill treatment from the world. They would continue to fellowship and have compassion on other suffering believers. Yes?
I think that's part of seeing the truth is what that is, of what he's saying in the scriptures. Because if you, why would you love your mother or your father more than the Lord when it's the Lord that made you and your mother and father and gave you a mother and father? So why wouldn't you love the one that created all of them?
Well, you've got to have the faith. You have to believe that there is a creator, that he made them.
Indeed.
He made you, yes. If you have that faith, then yes, you will love him more than them.
So that's what I'm saying. It's about seeing the truth.
Okay.
It's instilled in you. My niece, yeah. 2 years old, 2.5 years old, I'm praying. Can I pray? 2.5 years old. She says, it's very grateful, Senor, yeah, my Heavenly Father. My Heavenly Father. You know what I'm saying? So it's in us. It's in there.
Yes.
You know?
Especially in believers, because you well, can't... I love yes. my wife. You love your wife, right? But I want to be with Jesus no matter what. I ain't letting nothing get in the way of that.
I chose to love my wife. Yeah, no. I didn't fall in love. I chose...
Well, you see where I'm coming from, right?
Well...
I love my brother and my sister, but hey, you know, I love my Jesus more. I want to be with him, you know? And when it comes down to it, it's Jesus over them, period.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, pretty good. So it's the same.
No?
It's the same today. It's the same in all ages and all places, that all Christians are called to faith in Christ. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So if we deny yourself, that will be fighting sin. That involves self-denial. Take up a cross. That involves death.
Right, cross is so, death. That's right.
As Paul said in Romans 8, if you live according to the flesh, you will die, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So it involves mortifying and putting to death those fleshly things.
Tough. It's tough for that.
That's part of our sanctification. It's putting off the old and putting on the new. So God requires obedience, and obedience will often involve sacrifice. I know he says, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. To obey is better than sacrifice. But there are times when obedience is sacrifice. When he calls for us to sacrifice, we are to obey that.
Well, what does he tell us to do? Love the Lord thy God with all heart, soul, mind, strength, and love one another as I have loved you. Okay, so... is not love sacrifice? Would it go all the way out like the Good Samaritan? Mm-hmm.
It is giving of yourself.
Right.
Yeah. So that is sacrifice and obedience both.
Amen.
But it's ultimately a matter of the heart. God doesn't want us just to... I guess obey without our heart being in it. It has to be by faith. It has to be believing that He is God. He is who He says He is, and He wants us to do what He says He wants us to do. And He will reward in due time. We must act in faith based upon God's word. If our faith is not in His word, it will surely be disappointed. If for example, if I come up here and I say, God wants you to give me your car. That's not found in his word. That's a person speaking. So if you have faith in that, that's my word. It's not God's word. And that faith will not necessarily be rewarded. It is obedience to what he said.
Why?
Well, there are a lot of, I guess, strange teachings that go around it. It's been going on for forever that, how to word this, I don't know that, I guess there's one they call name it and claim it, or God wants you healthy and wealthy. They make lines. Things that aren't necessarily found correctly in God's word. They may use some scripture, but it's not really what they mean. And they try to teach that you just need faith, and these things will be yours. Just send your check here. And
pick and choose your religion.
But
what you want to take, a word from here, a word from over there, and make up your own story.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean,
well, we all have trouble with faith. You know,
I know.
All of us. I mean, when push comes to shove, I mean, there's choices to be made. You've got to trust God, or you've got to.
You know what? What you just said is true.
And you know what I believe?
I believe what God's word says, because the Bible says in Luke 18:1 that men ought to always pray and do not faint. That means don't lose heart. And our faith can be shaken like that, you know. And I believe in the power of prayer. And when we're constantly praying, Lord, please increase my faith, please strengthen my heart, my mind, and my faith. I believe that's essential. I believe that all believers, even if they think they have strong faith, should keep praying, because you never know when something's going to come along and shake you. You know, so
our faith will be tested. Yes.
Well, there will be people out there, Curtis, who will take one line from the Bible and tell it to you and say, for the rest of the story, send 995 and the stamp self addressed envelope.
Well, that could also mean it also could have a lot to do with what 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us too, to pray without ceasing. There could be a reason why that short verse means pray without ceasing. It means to pray all the time. It's important.
That's why we have the book. Okay? You shouldn't have to send somebody $9.95 right to look at the book and find the answer. That's what I'm getting at. People would use one little passage from the Bible to paint a whole lot of stuff.
God helps those that help themselves.
Well, the reason why I'm telling you guys this is because I have been in a point to where I have felt like I was on a thread. Mm-hmm. I mean, really going through some stuff on a thread. But I kept praying and kept praying all day long through the day, through all of that little being on a thread. And he pulled me through it. And I'm sitting here right now telling you about this only because he pulled me here to this day. See, so I believe prayer is essential. No doubt it. About it.
Okay. The beginning of chapter 13 says, let brotherly love continue. All right? Send me $29.95 and I'll give you the rest of the story. Well, all you got to do is open your Bible and read verse 13. Okay? And who knows what story they're going to send you? They had to send you another story that said, now send me another $29.95.
Is that true?
These people misread
it. I'm sorry, I say it louder. TV things,
yeah. People use the Bible for their own purposes. That's why they tell you to beware
of false
prophets. And that's why we have the book. We can read it ourselves. If somebody's trying to sell it to you, Curtis, there's something wrong.
Right.
They target shut-ins, people that don't go to church, people that don't know the word, and these people are stupid enough. Send me $29.95 and I'll tell you this, and okay, now it's 56 a revival, and I'll tell you some more. The people send it.
They pray on the simple.
Yeah.
That's why it's important to be strong in the Lord.
That's why
a lot of people don't go to church. They think they have to pay it.
If Ryan tells you something, you have a question about it, then check your Bible.
Philippians.
Well, of course.
Three.
Of course, I would.
Okay, so that's the same thing. That somebody tells you to send your money.
The Judaizers, the legalists, look out for the troublemakers. Look out for the false circumstances. Those who claim circumcision is necessary for salvation. But we who are born again have been reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, set apart for His purpose. Amen, brother. And what is His purpose?
For us to be conformed to the image of His Son. We are to be like Christ. That does not just involve having godly power like the world wants, but it is to live like He lived, which the world does not
want. When we say God's for us, it can be against us.
Mm-hmm.
God loves us, right? But He also fights for us. You know that? Mm-hmm. He fights for us. He fights against what? Principalities, wars. Why? Why would He do that?
He fights our battles every day.
That's right. But Satan's here, right?
I think there's a battle going on that we can't see that between
no, the because we like battle. We like easiest off the way. We like our faith is not what it should be.
Well, what we were just talking about,
sure. Right? I mean, fire,
John.
Yeah. Our faith, you know. I mean, I'm like, do I really believe God is going to help me in my times of need when I could go outside and put a shovel and dig the hole myself? Or am I going to? Do I have the faith to believe that this is a period of resting in Him and waiting on Him, that these things are happening? That He's going to take care of them, or I'm going to do it myself. That's what happens.
Right.
We all tend to, you know, if you don't pay the light bill, what happens?
Well, what you were talking about, Billy, about someone trying to sell you something like that, does it sound familiar to you? Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple.
Sure enough.
I know. You gotta be careful, man. Watch out.
And I'll tell you something, Chris, okay? There are people out there that can talk to them right off the face of the penny. And you won't even know that.
I sell you a
Brooklyn Bridge.
A ketchup popsicle.
Yeah.
Father, we do thank You that we have Your Word. We thank You that we can read it. You have given it to us in this written form, that it's accessible to us. It's not locked up. It's not hidden away, but we have it in our own language. We can understand it. And we thank You that we do not have to rely upon any man, but we have Your Word in full, in complete form. We thank You that Your Son, Jesus Christ, is the full and final Word from You, that He is the Word of God. He is Your Son. He is Your image, the exact representation of You, Father. So we ask that You continue Your work in us, continue making us more like Your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to walk in the steps of our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to love one another as He loved us. Help us to walk in love, forgiving one another as You have forgiven us in Christ. Help us just to obey by faith, believing that You will reward. You are a rewarder of those who seek You. You will raise us up together with Christ by Your Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
We thank You, and we ask for Your continued help Help us to walk in a way that pleases you, and help us to obey what you command of us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.